If you have your Bibles this morning, 2 Chronicles, as you saw on the screen, is our text and our reading, one verse of Scripture in a little while. We are involved in a mini-series entitled Spiritual Renewal. And today we come with the third message concerning this thought. I'm going to give you some things here in a few minutes. It was part of the, if you have the outline, it's part of the introduction, actually, that I want to share with you. I'm praying that our church is seeking revival and to be spiritually renewed. And I gave you some reasons for that 2 weeks ago. We cannot assume that we've arrived and there's nothing else to do. We're in our new sanctuary, I call it new, and we've got our new property north of us here with our new fellowship hall, and things are well, and so it would be so easy to just kind of sit back and enjoy God's blessings. But the spiritual renewal needs to come because we can never become satisfied with the status quo. There's more to serving God than just acquiring some property and making seats for more people. And we've still got to fill these seats up. We've got to see these seats not only filled, but with people that need Christ. And what a blessing to hear those that went to Ouachita Baptist College for the week, for the summer, that some came back with Christ in their hearts and lives and for eternally changed. But spiritual renewal, I was asked after the first service that I preached 2 weeks ago about the lost axe head. Remember? What now, preacher? What now? Where can we go now for to keep this thought going and flowing and not just to hear a message and move on and to another series in a few weeks and another some more thoughts and some other things. So what now? And I probably, after I put this together, I thought later that this could have been the fifth message of the series. But it's just going to be some things because I think this is what's now. May I give those to you? The first thing I think on our list here in this introduction is, honestly, we need to become dissatisfied with ourselves. Because when we're satisfied, we're not going to be doing the things that we ought to be doing for the Lord. So we need to feel this dissatisfaction among ourselves. You remember it was Isaiah that said he saw the Lord on his throne. And when he saw him there, he cried out, "Oh, woe is me. I am a wicked man and I dwell among wicked people." We need to see ourselves as we really are sometimes. And I think there also, secondly, needs to be a sweeping transformation in our lives. We cannot be satisfied for the second time this morning with just where we are and we're not going anywhere else. We cannot feel, if we do that, we become half-hearted in our service for God. And there has to be that sacrificial giving in our lives and of the things that we're doing for God. And then we need to put ourselves, thirdly, in the way of blessing. We're going to have the power restored. We're going to be spiritually renewed. We need to put ourselves in the way of blessing. Well, what does that mean, preacher? Maybe that means we just keep doing what we're doing, but with a greater intensity. I look at faces that I see most every Sunday. But part of that is to continue to worship, obviously. And another part of that is to continue to visit your prayer closet often, to spend time in God's Word, and all of these things play into it. But here's something else that needs to be done as well. Now listen, if we're going to be spiritually renewed, where possible, when possible, now listen, we must seek restitution among the members of God, among family members. We have to have that. We need that. Make restitution where possible, where people will allow that. And then we walk in obedience, don't we? I'm talking to people that are already doing that, but we want to continue to walk in obedience. And then here's a final thing I think is so very important. We need to as well narrow our interest. Now, I'll tell you what I mean by that. There's a part of our mindset and a part of our lives that's serving the Lord. But there's also a part of our lives and mindset that's serving the world. We live in this crazy world that we're living in. And we're pulled in opposite directions. So let's narrow things down somewhat. The way of the world is going in one direction. The things of God are going in another direction. And I think here are some things, six things that will help us if we really as a church, if we really as individuals want this spiritual renewal. Here's the way to get it. And here's the way to keep it once we have it. So we come today to this verse from 2 Chronicles. If you and I know you did, and watching the video a few moments ago, you saw a list of words that are enemies to spiritually renewing our lives for God. Well, I've got four that I'm going to give you this morning from this verse. The enemies that come against our lives and our church that will keep us from being spiritually renewed, that will keep us from the revival that we want and that we need individually and corporately as well. So let's read this verse together this morning. But would you please stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word? I'm reading from the New American Standard. I'd like to read it in your hearing, and then before you're seated, I'd like for all of us to read it together, okay? If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Would you read that with me, please? And my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated once again. So there are four enemies that God mentions here that will keep us from being spiritually renewed. The verse that we just read and the verses prior to that and after that are words that Solomon was led of God the Holy Spirit to write, actually, when the temple was dedicated after they had built the thing there in Jerusalem. And part of the things God was giving them are the things He's giving us today. Some words of warning and some words that if we'll heed those words, we can be people that can enjoy the blessings of God and live in the abundance of life. So here in this one single verse, there are four enemies to my being spiritually renewed, to you being spiritually renewed, to our church never enjoying being spiritually renewed or having a revival. And number one on the list is pride. If my people will do what? Humble themselves. Pride will keep us from being humble people. That's not an easy thing, humbling ourselves. In my opinion, that's not an easy thing for most Americans to do. We talk about humility from the pulpit. I can talk to you about being broken, the need of all of those things. We're talking about agreeing with God that our lives are often not what they ought to be. We're talking about that. It's an admittance of failures that we have. It's the admittance that we struggle at times, and we do that. This pride that I'm talking about is an enemy, and it will destroy personal renewal, spiritual renewal, and revival from God's people. I read a story a few years ago, and it's a good time to use it, I guess. True story. Muhammad Ali, in his heyday, had boarded a plane and was about to make a trip from point A to point B. When he got on the plane, everybody recognized him. Now, you remember, he was in his heyday. When he was saying, I'm the what? I'm the greatest, you know. So everybody down the aisle that's coming in wanted to visit with him and wanted autographs and all these things. A flight attendant had said to him several times, "Sir, you need to take your seat and fasten your seatbelt." And he just ignored her. And about, I don't know how many times she said it, but she said it again, maybe even kind of sternly. And he replied by saying, "Superman don't need no airplane." Nope. I take that back. He said, Superman. Let me get over here and get that exactly right. Because it's pretty important to the story. "Superman don't need no seatbelt." Then he used the word "no" there. Okay. "Superman don't need no seatbelt." She replied by saying, "Superman didn't need no airplane." "Take your seat, sit down, and fasten your seatbelt." Now, I said that to say this. I think as God's people, sometimes we need to realize that we are not super people. We're not super men, and we're not super women. And we sometimes need to sit down and fasten our seatbelt and remember, now listen, and remember that someone else is in charge. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Word of God speaks to us often, and it speaks to us consistently that God is sovereignly over His church, and over His people, and over this world. That He has a plan for me, and that He has a plan for you. That He has a purpose for both of us. That He has a promise that we can claim every day. And that you and I must decrease, and He must increase. And He can never increase when you and I are filled with pride. Because we can do it without Him. Now, I've thought about what I'm going to do a lot here. I'm fixing what I'm about to say. But I really think it's important. We need to take a test together this morning. And you're probably thinking, if I wanted to take a test, I'd have done it someplace else. Let's take a test and see if we have pride in our lives. 7 questions. Number 1. Do you refuse to hear what others have to say? And you don't have to say out loud that. I get that. Do you refuse to hear what others have to say to you? Do you have a need to be noticed? If you have pride, you will forget to be thankful. If you have pride, it's hard for you to receive correction. If you have pride, it's hard for you to admit fault. If you have pride, you'll find it difficult to apologize. And if you have pride, you'll put others down so that you might look better. And I say that because I think that is a great little test. We look at those things and you'll soon forget them and probably couldn't get me 2 or 3 of them that I just read to you. And that's okay. But when we examine our lives in the light of what God has for us concerning our attitude, listen, the things that robbed me and the things that will rob you of being spiritually renewed with God and walking close to Him, and not having the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God is the fact that we have pride in our lives. And it's the first thing that is mentioned here by the Lord Jesus Christ, or by the Holy Spirit, rather. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, listen to these words. There are 6 things which the Lord hates. That's that first verse. There are 6 things which the Lord hates. And then he says, yea, 7 are an abomination to Him. Now, God didn't say there are 6 things here that I don't like. There are six things that I wish you would try to do better with. He said there are six things which I hate, and the seventh one, I'm going to give that one to you, is an abomination to me. Do you know what number one on the list is? Pardon me? Almost. Haughty eyes. A proud look. Which probably goes with the heart. A proud look. Number one on the list. And he said, the seventh one, and I'm not going to give you the other five, but I'm going to give you the first one and the last one. And here's the seventh one. The seventh one that he hates, and it's abomination, is someone who's spread lies among the brothers and sisters. I believe that's exactly the way it's said. Spread strife among the brothers. Listen, if we're dealing with pride, we may not even know it. If you have pride, you may not even know it. So take the test this morning. Listen, how Brother Jim, how do I deal with my pride if I'm one that has pride? I'll give it to you from Galatians 2:20. We remember that I am crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live, yet not I, but it's Christ living with me. And the life that I now live by the faith, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm saying to you this morning that if you have even a smidgen of pride, crucify it with Christ. Because it's the first enemy to being spiritually renewed. The second one is this, prayerlessness. He said, if my people will humble themselves and pray. So a prayerless life will not produce a spiritual renewal or a life that needs to be spiritually renewed. Prayer is the source of it. It really is. If we're going to be spiritually renewed, we've got to spend time on our knees. We've got to pray for this. We've got to remember it's not something I do, but it's what God does. We must seek Him. We must inquire of Him. We must ask of Him. This is something that He wants to do in your life and mine and us corporately. It's a wonderful thing to know that He would pour on us something that we cannot and should not do for ourselves. And that is a revival, being spiritually renewed. It's a vast difference. Listen, you probably have never done this, but you know, we quote that Philippian verse from the New Testament, I can do all things. There's not a period there. It's a comma. God put a comma. I can do all things how? Through Christ who gives me strength to do it. And that's it right there. He will do that. I can do all things. It's not by my power. There might be a good book about that. Not by my power. Come think about it. I get 10% if you'd like one of those books. We can provide that for you today. My dear brother Ron has written a book, not my power but his, that speaks of this. Some of you have it. Some of you were taught it a few years ago. I didn't realize I was going to throw that in. That little, but I had it right here, so I read it right off the day. It's not. Listen, it's not my power. It's not our power. It's not our achievements. I cannot work up a spiritual renewal. I can only pray for one. And I can pray that God will give one. And I will wait and see what He wants to do as I serve Him. Spiritual renewal is birthed. Listen, it's birthed in the altar of prayer, church. Do you really want that spiritual renewal? I hope so. The third enemy is wrong priorities. The third thing He says, and seek my face. Pray and seek my face. We live, I think, and I'll just give you my opinion, but we live in, I think, probably the busiest day that's ever been on planet Earth. We just find ourselves just crazy busy. Most of us have more to do than we can get done in 2 weeks if we just stop and looked at it. So what are you saying? I'm saying that we need to put some and prioritize our days. And yes, there are things that we must do. There are careers that we're involved in. There's There's things at home that you want to get done. Those things are fine and dandy. Just don't forget the spiritual things. Don't forget to do those things for God. Don't forget that part about praying. Don't forget that part about Bible study. Don't forget a part about praying for those in the hospital. Don't forget that part about, if you're up that way, stopping in and seeing someone that's in the hospital. That's all part of it, you see. If we don't start recognizing those priorities, we will spend our entire life doing things for ourselves, for the most part. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I'm praying, I'm asking, I'm begging this morning that if you need to do this, get your priorities right this morning. Set them right. Humble yourselves. Pray. Seek His face. Remember and declare in the morning when you get up, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I am going to rejoice, and I'm going to be glad in it, and I'm going to do something for His honor and to His glory before the sun sets today. Here's the last one. Presumption. Now, this last point revolves around the word presumption. I think we presume that God is going to, go ahead, bless us even when we have sin in our life. That was fine, Mary Kay. He said, turn from your wicked ways. That God will bless me, that God will bless us even when there's sin in our lives. I'm going to categorize the 21st century that we're living in because I think it's pretty accurate. I think that is exactly the mindset of most people in the world and those who are named in the name of Christ as well. I live about any way I want to. I mean, we saw a whole list of things on the screen earlier of things that are enemies of spiritual renewal, things that are enemies of revival, all of these things. But there's this mindset that I'm not a bad person. Listen, I have never, and I wouldn't take anything that was not mine. I'm not going to murder anyone. I'm not going to be immoral with anyone. I'm not going to do all these things. I must be a pretty good person. Listen, that mindset has crept into the New Testament church. I've always done this, and I've always been a Christian, and God hasn't spanked me yet, so to speak. Listen, old things were passed away when you were saved. And new things were created, and that's where we need to find ourselves living. You cannot live after the order of your will and the direction of your life and your will. And you and I cannot expect and or accept the anointing of God upon our life if there is disobedience in our lives. It just doesn't work that way. So here they are. Pride. Prayerlessness, wrong priorities, the presumption that God will bless us even if when there's sin. So we wouldn't do anything like all the names that was listed, the words listed. I'm not going to go through all those. We wouldn't do anything like that. But I'll tell you what we can do. We can be so indifferent to God's stuff and word and church, and people, and things, until it must be nauseating to God. And I'm so thankful that for your presence today, but I'll tell you, among church members, that there's this mindset, I'm at church, and I have worshiped, and I'm kind of done until this time next week. It can't be that way. The presumption that God will bless me, the presumption that God will bless us when we're no better than the outside world, none whatsoever. And I'll tell you something. The old saying, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck and kind of looks like a duck, it's probably a duck. Would you let me use this? Listen, if we're going to walk like the world and act like the world and talk like the world and be in the world, we're probably worldly Christians. we probably really are. And the answer is we are being awfully presumptuous when we expect to live any way we want to and expect God to bless us, corporately or individually. So, would you agree with me this morning that you are part of 2 Chronicles 7:14 verse? You are God's people? Would you? Are you God's child? Well, there were three that raised their hands, and the rest of you, I guess, are on the way. Well, I guess three are awake, and the rest are saying, I need to get out of here. Are you God's child or not? I'm crying out loud. Thank you. Man. You drive me crazy sometimes. Okay, you are. I already knew that. Is there pride in your life? Come on now, let's be honest. And don't raise your hand. This is a time not to raise your hand. Is there pride there? If so, would you crucify that pride with Christ? He said, pray. Will you become a prayer warrior? Praying that our church, that you, that me, we will be the people we ought to be. We will experience spiritually renewing moments with God inside and outside this building. Will you get your priorities in order? And will you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? All these things will be added unto you. And you won't be presumptuous, will you? No, don't do that. Don't presume that you can live like the world and I can live like the world and we can expect God to bless us. It just does not work like that. So the enemies that we face are all around us. And we've got to let the Holy Spirit move in my life, our lives, so that we can be spiritually renewed, not one time, but day after day, week after week, until Jesus comes. Yeah, that's it. Until Jesus comes. Let's stand together. I think it would be good this morning, as we have done with all of these messages, is to just pray together. So let's bow for a moment, seek our Father's face. A spiritual renewal. Oh boy, do we ever need one. I'm not painting you as bad people. I know it's been a negative message. I get that. But we just need sometimes a change. Recognition that we're really not what we claim to be or ought to be, but we want to be. So, Father, in these few moments that we have remaining this morning, it's time for us to examine our hearts. It's time for us to make our checklist, so to speak, and to deal with pride if it's there. To deal with the fact that we may not be the praying people that we claim to be or want to be. And that we may not have the priorities set that we ought to have for you. And this presumption that we can live through the week and come and spend an hour with you on Sunday and go home and do it again. You will bless us. So it really is a time of self-examination for all of us, not just one or two, but for all of us. And Holy Spirit, would you right now just pinpoint things in our lives that we we need to address. Would you begin a work that would be, number one, unmistakably clear your work where our church, our lives can be spiritually renewed? Just pray we'll never be satisfied with the status quo. Always seeking how we can more abundantly live for you and serve you. So I just give these thoughts to you and pray that they have it's found fertile soil in the minds and the hearts of these who are gathered here this morning. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.